Hello and welcome back to our Develop podcast. This is your host, Danielle Reynolds, Business Development Manager here at Whitley Penn, and I am so excited to be with you all as we continue to connect, learn, and grow together. Joining us today is Nathan McCown, Chief Growth Officer and Partner in Charge of Consulting. We are going to dive into some growth-related topics centered around business development, cross-selling, and what it means to have a growth mindset. Nathan, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, great to be here. I appreciate it, Danielle, and excited to have a conversation.
Awesome. So to start, can you share with us how you got to the role of Chief Growth Officer and what that experience has been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of an organic process. Felix Zano, our former Chief Growth Officer, several years ago, he had the idea for this role, and he had a few of us together, and we kind of brainstormed and met several times throughout the year. And he had his touch on it, and I'm sure I'll have a little bit different touch on it. But I felt like I was a part of the process when it first started, and then I really got to I've always been somewhat of a mentee to Felix, and he's a mentor to me, and so I watched him go through it and have this role, and he did a great job at it. And so really just through being around him and seeing, what the role meant. And then for me, I've always been really growth mindset, whether that's new service lines, going to new markets to help them grow, recruiting new talent. I mean, there's a lot of things there, but that's definitely where my passion lies. And so it just was a natural progression for once Felix retired for me to step in. And I feel very lucky to be in this role.
Awesome. Well, it's a great time to be in the role. So when you think of growth, and we've all heard the term, we talk about it a lot here at Whitley Penn, of having a growth mindset. What does that mean to you, and how do you hope to impact the team here in the next chapter of your career?
Yeah, I mean, for me, growth officer, it's a lot of things. And if you probably ask for what are the job duties for a chief growth officer at 10 different firms, you would probably get 10 different job duties and responsibilities. So it can be a lot of things. I think, when I think about it, it's really driving growth through a lot of avenues, whether that's, hey, let's make sure we're doing the best work for the best clients, make sure we're doing, and that's through looking at profitability, making sure we're, scaling out clients that maybe aren't a good fit anymore, and then moving upstream. That's to, hey, let's look at new service lines. How can we add this service, data analytics, to the lineup and possibly get more revenue that way? It's, hey, is there a possible acquisition we should look at, whether that's a new business, a new firm, or whatever, a new market? Or maybe that's just through, hey, let's go find some talent and let's build out this new service line ourselves. So there's a lot of ways that you can go about getting growth. Mm-hmm. How I did it may be a little bit different than how Felix did it, but I think having someone just focused on the firm and, the variety of ways that we can grow and make sure it's in the back of our heads for our partners, I think that's key. And look, I'm still learning the role to some extent, and I'm sure it will evolve. But I'm excited about it, and I think there's just so much opportunity for this firm.
Yeah, it can go in a lot of different directions. So kind of playing off that, the role of business development has evolved in recent years, especially with this influence of technology now. Can you touch on how it has progressed or changed and what it may look like future years to come?
Yeah, for Whitley Penn, this is probably a very critical part in our firm growth and business development for us. As an organization gets bigger, it just naturally has to professionalize or put processes around business development. When we were a firm of 50 people, and I was here when we were just 50 people, business development was very organic, and you just kind of went out and you did it, and you just hope it worked, and that's how it is. But when we're 800 people, 200 million plus in revenue, we really have to be more systematic about it, and that's through using tools like HubSpot, which helps us make sure we're tracking our leads and following up on time, and we know who's a part of the process. It's by having someone like yourself over the business development group and really, okay, how are we going to build this and make it really a part of the pie and a piece of the growth of the firm and build that out across their offices, service lines, whatever it is. And so it's just more of, hey, we're getting bigger. this can't be just an afterthought or something that, you know, we think's naturally going to happen. We have to really put some thought into business development, use the right tools, whether that's IntroHive, HubSpot, or anything like that, but also, you know, put the people that will help us succeed into the right spot too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, the market we see, it's only getting more competitive out there. And I always say, you know, the work we do is similar, but it's all the other things that is why someone would want, you know, Whitley Penn to do their work. So I think it's important to kind of build that culture around, you touched on, doing the best work for our clients, growing our young professionals in that direction. What new service lines do we have to get in front of a new market? So you gave a great presentation to our firm leadership group this summer, which then was passed down through the firm on cross-selling, or you like to call it selling the Whitley Penn cow, not just the ribeye. Can you tell us what that means, where you came up with that, and just anything else?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess there's kind of two reasons why I came up with this. One is an educational purposes of really helping people understand, okay, what all does Whitley Penn have, and how can I help introduce that to my clients, because I know some of them are going to need this. And two, you know, how can I put cross-selling, just the action of it, on the forefront of everyone's mind. And so, you know, I read some article and somehow it talked about only use a certain part of the brain. And I was like, well, how can I correlate? And so I thought, okay, we're in Texas. And you know, what if we had this cow and there's different cuts of beef here, and, you know, really want all of our partners and all of our people really for that matter to think of themselves of a butcher of this Whitley Penn cow. And sometimes you may just, you know, years ago, all we had was audit and tax to offer. And so when clients came in, that's what we offered, audit or tax. And maybe I'm an audit guy, so I only offer audit. But really, we got to think of ourselves, hey, you know, we're a butcher. I have all this beef to sell. It's all great beef. It's all things that people want and need, but maybe they don't even know it unless I know how to describe it to them. And so really, you know, we have this image of a cow. We kind of cut up in pieces. And there's actually something on our interweb that, you know, our people can go to for informational purposes and click on, you know, the ribeye, so to speak. And maybe that's, you know, outsourced accounting services, or they can click on the brisket and that's audit. Anyway, they can click on all these different services, land administration, mineral management, and then they can learn about that service. So there's an education piece there. I just want our people not to say, I don't even know what they do. Well, if you don't know what they do, go to the image, look at, see the video. But then also think about it yourself. Okay, well, now that I can go find out the information on what all these services are by clicking on the different cuts of beef, now when my customers come in, I'm not just going to push the audit because I'm an auditor. You know, I'm going to say, well, I know you're having steaks tonight, so you're getting this, but what about for that cookout on Sunday? You should really consider our data analytics group, or, you know, whatever it is. So it's really just a way, playful way for folks to think about, okay, to be able to sell all these different cuts of beef, I need to know how to describe them. I need to know what they are. And I'm not just, you know, in charge of my one kingdom, tax, FLBS, whatever it is. I'm really selling everything. So, you know, I think it touched a good chord, which is, you know, made me happy. But and I think it's something that hopefully will go on, and I think it rings with a bunch of people from Texas, which is good. But you know, it's just one way. We have so much talent in this firm. We need to help each other, and the best way to do that is cross-selling. And the more growth we have, the more partners we'll make, the more talent we'll get to retain. And so it was just my way of, like, you know, really making sure we're all thinking about each other and not just our individual service line.
Well, it's super catchy too. And something I always say is you just have to be dangerous enough, right? You just have to know enough. So I think hopefully it's a great opportunity. You touched on the education, but one, providing better value for our clients and even prospects to know all that we do, and two, a way to ask better questions when you're meeting them. And I think it really goes a long way on their end when you start asking those questions and see how they could, how we could better service them. So the idea on cross-selling, and, you know, I think there's different components. You've got the internal clients, right? Huge, your current clients are your best clients. But what about all the other opportunities out there? So new clients are prospecting. So when you're meeting with leaders internally at the firm. What strategies are y'all discussing for identifying and targeting new business opportunities, all right? Or maybe markets or services like you touched on. You mentioned before audit and tax, we were so driven in that. So our client, our ideal client has probably changed. What are you guys talking about when we're trying to figure out the best fit clients for us?
Yeah, and you know, a real simple way in terms of, you know, what are we not offering? You know, I always tell our partners, hey, when you're meeting with your clients, you know, what other vendors are they using? What other services are they getting? And is that something we should be doing? I mean, that's one way I think about, you know, new businesses. You know, I see someone offering it to my client, I'm like, man, they're offering this, you know, whatever data analytics product, which, you know, we didn't have until recently, and they're not doing it as well as I know we could do it. So maybe we should look at that. So that's how I think about new services sometimes. Just tell me what you're seeing out there in the market. Tell me what other vendors you're seeing. And, you know, maybe, you know, we can brainstorm. Is that something we want to do? It not always is, but maybe sometimes it is. And then just in thinking the right size client, you know, we're living in a world right now with CPA firms where our student population is dropping. So our talent pool is getting tighter and tighter. So it's not where we can go pick up, you know, 150 new students every year. It's just not that easy. There's so competitive nature and there's just a limited number of heads. But so we have to, one, make sure the talent we do get, that we're using that talent on the best possible client. And so I think, you know, a big thing that our partners have been doing are looking at their clients and saying, are we the best fit for them? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean, you know, any client isn't worthy of our service by any means. It just means, hey, maybe we've grown outside of that client's window, or maybe they've gotten too big for us, or maybe they're too small. Whatever it is, let's make sure we're doing work for the best possible client. Mm-hmm. So we know they're going to be a raving fan, and it's a good alignment of one value, but obviously the services we're delivering. And I think that's one thing that we've been really good at the last few years, is just making sure, you know, all of our clients that we are serving, it's a good fit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when anytime value and service get misaligned, it's just, you know, it's a bad way to have a relationship. I never want anyone to think they're not getting the value we're billing them, or I don't want us to think, oh man, you know, we're not getting the value out of it either. And so, you know, great clients are ones that come to you and are willing to pay your bill and pay it quick and happy, and they see, oh man, that was worth it. And so we're just making sure all of our partners are making sure that they're, you know, looking at their lists and having the right clients on.
Yeah, it's constantly evaluating it. So in this competitive market, what is important to you as a chief growth officer to focus on as it relates to differentiating Whitley Penn to attract new clients? You kind of touched on this. You know, is it more of that relationship factor? Is it more of being the technical expert? Probably a blend of both, but how do we differentiate ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think one, in the markets we play in, we, you know, and that's primarily Texas, right? We get the just as good as talent as any other firm. I would put anything against that. It doesn't matter if you're Big Four, whatever. We have a great reputation in our markets, and we get the best talent, which is great. That's key, right? To, you know, talent is the lifeblood of the firm. So if you don't have the best talent, you know, you're not going to perform the best services. And then we take that great talent and we put them in our culture of, hey, let's have great client service, be responsive, do the right thing, and always worry about, are we providing enough value for a client? So you take that talent, you put in that culture, and then we have this mentality of entrepreneurship, and we want to make sure that, you know, we're thinking outside the box, adding new service lines, which we've done historically throughout our firm growth, and being willing to bet on a few people or some, you know, I'd say, you know, we're not afraid to, okay, well, let's go try this. It may cost us some money, but we're investing. And we're not afraid to do that, which is good, because that's helped us continue to grow like we have. So I think, you know, all those things, you know, really make us different. We're not the typical sleepy CPA firm by any means. I think we're pretty dynamic, and our people tend to, you know, look and feel the same in terms of dynamic and high performers. And I think, you know, all that together is what really sets us apart.
Yeah, I love that. So you mentioned the transition to CGO was a pretty natural transition, the things you like to work on, like adding different service lines, how your career has progressed. So networking obviously plays a big role in that. How do you go about building and maintaining a strong professional network?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm fortunate enough at this point in my career where I did all the hard work for the last 10 to 12 years, and that's why I always, you know, try to tell our folks, early in your career, begin to network, because those are the seeds that will become, you know, your crop many years down the road, so to speak. And I did all that hard work. I went to all the events. I spent a lot of time. I made sure I was, you know, my circle of influence was correct or you know, the best it could be. And so now I don't have to do as much as the volume, because the people I'm close to, you know, those are the ones that are in my network, and I talk to them every day. They're my best friends. They're also my clients. They're also people I, you know, reach out to and have questions. And so I think it was the work I did a decade ago that really got me to the point now where, you know, my network has been very good to me and generous in terms of opportunity, and I can lean on them. And when I need a favor, you know, they'll give it to me. And when I have something to pitch or offer, they'll listen to me. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they'll necessarily sign up, but they'll listen. So I think it's just, you know, one, building the network, which, you know, I did that work, but then it's just keeping in touch with them, getting in front of them, being genuine, helping them out when you can. Not because you want any fees or anything, it's just because you want to help them because you're a friend. So it's being genuine about what you're trying to do, and then just staying in front of them. And I think, you know, as it goes, your network just becomes your friend world, so to speak, and you're just kind of helping each other out. So I feel like I'm at that point in my career where, you know, most of my network is, you know, someone that I consider a friend and I can count on, and they help push deals to me, vice versa. And so that's really, you know, how I look at networking now.
Yeah, it sounds like you've built a lot of trust, and there was a lot of intentionality behind it, and also still your network is very intentional now with the people that are still a part of it. So at Whitley Penn, we have this other initiative called Telling the Whitley Penn Story. In your own words, as Chief Growth Officer, how would you tell the Whitley Penn story?
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, look, I think Whitley Penn is a very special and unique firm. One, we are Texas-based. We have, you know, one office outside of Texas, and eventually that will change. But, you know, we got just a very talented group of individuals that are passionate about what they do. You know, I think the client service is by far better than what you're going to get from other of our competitors in the market. But you know, there's just a genuine internally idea that growth equals opportunity for others. And so a lot of what we do is not about helping it ourselves, but more of, hey, I want growth because I want, you know, Susan to make partner. I want, you know, Jeff to have an opportunity. And so, you know, it's this passion for growing the firm to provide opportunities for others that I think makes us, you know, a little bit different. And to the client side, I think they see that through just the service they get. But, you know, so for me, my story, you know, the Whitley Penn story for me is about, you know, just the passion that we have and, you know, the ability to offer, you know, many different things to our clients. But you won't find many firms our size that have the variety of services and the talent that we have.
Yeah, I think it's getting to work and grow with people you know, like, and trust. And on the flip side, like you mentioned, our clients see that. So lastly, what advice would you give to professionals looking to excel in their careers?
You know, I mean, short and sweet, do it for the passion, not the money. I think when we're young, you know, so much is driven by, like, your concerns about a lot of it's tied to financial, you know, success. And financial success was different for a lot of people. So, you know, I'm not saying that's defined by any amount of money. But, you know, step away from that. And do you have a passion for what you're doing? Because if you're just passionate about what you're doing, the success and all that will follow, because, you know, passion is going to make you happy, and, you know, continuing down that path will make you happy. And, you know, the money will follow and the money won't make you happy. But if you're really passionate about what you do and your career, you know, everything else will fall into place. So don't ever follow the dollars, follow where you're really happy and passionate. And I think that's one thing that, you know, even myself as a young 20 something, I probably didn't quite understand. But I think, you know, I was fortunate to find somewhere where I was really passionate about what I was doing. So for, to me, I mean, that's, I think, that the biggest key is to focus on. And if you're not necessarily, if you're having a hard time finding the passion of what you're doing, think about things like, I tell people all the time, as an auditor, yeah, you're probably not passionate about a checklist, right? That's not really fun to do. But are you passionate about spending that time with your clients, developing that staff below you, you know, helping that company get financial so they can go get debt to grow? So there's, you know, or maybe it's recruiting, whatever it is. There's pieces in there that are you're really enjoyable to you. And then there's always going to be some that aren't. And so gravitate towards those and just help grow that and fuel that passion.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, especially coming from someone who's built his entire career at one place. You know, I'm sure you always had to find different passions in whatever stage of your career that you were in and how you were growing. Nathan, thank you so much for joining me today, sharing about selling the whole cow and other great tips and insights into the world of growth. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to reach out and let us know your favorite part. And we look forward to seeing and hearing from you soon. Cheers.
Thank you.